This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Folks, are you asking yourself what's really going on here? Why these seemingly contradictory messages all the time? We need to open up. We do. People need to feed their families. We do. But then at the same time, you have some of these anti-Trump governors and locals saying, well, mayors and local municipalities, well, we need this now. We need that now. Why? If you need to open up, then open up. What is it you need? What is going on? Don't worry. I'll translate that for you. I got another story by the Washington Post, complete garbage. Of course, we'll dismantle it. Big move by Trump on immigration yesterday. Also, another Spygate update. Great article by Margot Cleveland. You're not going to want to miss. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online data today from prying eyes. Go to expressvpn.com/Bongino. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Producer Joe, how are you today on this loaded news day?
I'm doing well, but dude, what's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening?
There's always,
man?
Every day, there's always a new scam. I feel obligated to dismantle for people. It's my favorite word these
every
days.
Every day, dude.
There's a lot of that going on. I'll get right to it. Today's show brought to you by Bettyzac. Omaha Steaks. You're staying home. There's never been a better time to stock up on Omaha Steaks. They're delicious. They deliver the world's best steaks and a huge variety of family favorites without leaving home. Right now, Omaha Steaks limited time stock up sale is available for my listeners to help your family stock up on the food you love and we love here. It's absolutely delicious. I'm seeing my mouth watering now. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code Bongino into the search bar to unlock savings unique for my listeners. There's a variety of ready-to-ship stock-up boxes available right now. By entering the promo code Bongino in the search bar, you can save more than 50% on your order and get free shipping on orders of $69 or more. These packages are perfect for families ready to head straight to your door with free shipping. Stock-up boxes include world-famous Omaha Steaks, naturally aged to tenderness and trimmed to perfection, premium poultry and pork, cut by Omaha butchers and individually sealed for perfection, freshness and flavor, tasty and easy to make side dishes. No work family meals for your slow cooker or oven. Skillet meals ready in 15 minutes or less. Artisan desserts and much, much more. We love Omaha Steaks. We eat it about twice a week here. We bought our own. We got, in addition to the box, they sent us. It's that good. Stock up boxes are ready to ship. Save big plus on shipments of $69 or more with free shipping. Omaha Steaks delivers guaranteed quality and safety with every order. If you're stocking up on things you need, don't forget the food you'll love. It's a fifth generation family owned company with over 100 years of expertise in perfectly aged all American grain finished beef that's hand cut by master butchers. There's never been a better time to stock up on Omaha Steaks. The stock up sale is going on right now with ready to ship packages. You can save 50% or more and free shipping on orders of $69 or more. Type Bongino, B-O-N-G-I-N-O in the search bar. Save more than 50% on your order and get free shipping on orders of $69 or more. They're partnering with Feeding America to help feed families in need. They've already donated 100,000 servings of premium proteins. When you buy selected combo packages, they'll donate more. Be sure to type in Bongino, B-O-N-G-I-N-O in the search bar and support Feeding America at omahasteaks.com, 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 omahasteaks.com. Type Bongino in the search bar. All right, let's go.
Kick it.
Where is it? Where's my bell?
It didn't come in.
I didn't hear the bell. Ah. No. Give me a verbal ding ding. I need ding, that ding, to get ding, my brain ding, going. Ding, ding. Thank you.
Joe. You're welcome.
You got to work on that bell. We got a bell malfunction.
What happened there, bro?
All right. So I saw this story in the Washington Examiner, and I feel the need to translate it for you because that's what we do here. All the news you see fit in an hour. Washington Examiner. Let's just get right going with this. There's this fight, friction, conflict brewing between Democrat governors, some Republican governors, and the Trump administration over testing. Washington Examiner, Trump and governors clash over coronavirus testing by Cassidy Morrison. Ladies and gentlemen, what is really going on here? Well, let me give you the background first. A lot of these governors now, Andrew Cuomo and others, you've seen Republican governor of Maryland, where Joe lives, the hapless Larry Hogan.
No, he's a Republican.
I'm really getting fed up with. Yeah, in name only.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
He's the classic definition. Larry Hogan will say whatever network he's on, he changes his story, right. By the way, because that's who Larry Hogan really is. But now they've set this new condition, Cuomo and others, that it's the testing that's holding him up. the testing for the coronavirus. To be clear, there are two different types of testing, because here we'll give you the facts, unlike these governors who are just enjoying their media time right now and will say anything to stay on the air. Probably should, I wouldn't be surprised if they start asking you for donations on the air. There are two types of testing. There is the testing for the presence of the coronavirus in your system now. There is also a second type of test, which is an antibody test. That antibody test, meaning you had the coronavirus, you have developed the antibodies, and may have some form of immunity. We don't know how long that lasts. No, we're not exactly sure yet. You get it? One, if you have it. The second test, if you've had it in the past. The Democrat governors want this test to see if you have it, to engage in contact tracing. As I said to you yesterday, the reason they're pushing for this as a condition to open up their economies is many of them don't want to open up their economies because this is doing significant damage to President Trump, number one. And secondly, there is a brewing current I'm hearing from multiple sources, more than credible, that they're going to keep it closed as long as they want until the federal government comes in and bails them out. Holding the federal government essentially hostage right now, which is odd because the federal government is us.
All right.
So we're holding us hostage for money from us that us don't have because we don't have it in the states and don't have it when we live in the states and we give it to the federal government. Kind of an odd condition, no?
Yeah.
Please tell me you're tracking me.
Yes,
we are. They're setting up a system, you getting this, of insurmountable obstacles they know President Trump will not be able to meet. You're not going to be able to contact, trace, and test every single person that lives in New York or, well, DeSantis isn't saying this in Florida, but in California, Maryland, and elsewhere. Now, to cite Anthony Fauci, who brought up an interesting point on the, I'm not going to say the fallacy of testing. Testing works, and you will find out, generally speaking, there's always a certain degree of false positives and false negatives, of course. You will find out if you have the virus. But Dr. Fauci brought up something interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a different kind of virus. It is a respiratory virus. It is not the human immunodeficiency virus. It's not HIV. It's not a virus. It's not a pathogen like, say, with the bug that causes tuberculosis. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, as Dr. Fauci said this weekend, I was listening to him, and he wasn't saying testing is irrelevant, but the governor is setting a mark. We got to test and contact trace everyone before we open up the economy. They're not doing that because they believe that's going to work. Are you following what I'm saying? They're doing that because they want to set an insurmountable obstacle, knowing Trump can't meet it, as an excuse to keep their economy shut, to leverage more money from Trump, from the federal government, to bail out their profligate spending. There it is in a nutshell right
there. Got it.
Getting back to the point on HIV and tuberculosis and others. As Fauci himself said, testing is more useful there because if you test for, say, HIV and you turn up negative and you don't engage in specific behaviors and you don't, and things don't happen, say, whatever it may be, high risk behaviors, a blood transfusion you got somewhere from, where this was years ago before we screened for it. Mm-hmm. But what I'm suggesting is if you're not engaged in those behaviors, that this is Fauci speaking this. That there's very little likelihood later on that you're going to contract the virus. Same thing with tuberculosis. If you were, I'll give you a quick example. When I was a police officer and we used to do Prost John missions where you lock up people who solicit prostitution, you'd be in the back of the police van and sometimes someone would be sick and there'd be a lot of coughing. You could get tested for TB. If you showed up negative and you weren't around anyone coughing who had TB, tuberculosis, it was likely you didn't have TB for a long time. That's not the case with this. The coronavirus testing is different. You could get tested today, turn up negative, go to a supermarket tomorrow and contract it. It's not that it's useless. It's that it's not as useful as other pathogens that are attributed to certain behaviors or being around people who have that specific pathogen. Does that make sense? It's not going to help. It's not going to stop anything.
Right.
You can contact trace every single person on the New York City subway that was on a train car by hunting all around New York with someone who had corona, the coronavirus. And it's still not going to, what's it going to do? Yes, now you know people on the train car caught the coronavirus from the guy in a train car. They're setting up an insurmountable obstacle to give an excuse to the media because they are holding the president hostage because they want more bailout money. Now, this is a huge mistake, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot bail out the state. We are the states.
All right.
It's our money holding hostage the federal government, which is us, to bail out states, which is us, which money us with money us don't have at the states or the federal government is money fairy absurdity of the umpteenth degree. Now, to put a little meat on the bone, one of the finer articles I saw, which is a must read for you, please check it out. Be at the show notes today, Bongino.com/newsletter. If you want to subscribe to our show notes, I will email you these every day. Three reasons why states shouldn't get a congressional bailout. Rachel Gresler, The Daily Signal. This article's worth your time. Let me, before we even get to the 3 weeks, can I just give you a moral or ethical reason why we shouldn't do this?
Yeah.
Folks, we are a federalist system. We have a federal government, state governments, local governments, municipalities. They're all, there's a hierarchy here. There are different, there's separation of powers, obviously vertical and horizontal separation of powers within and among these branches. But can you explain to me morally or ethically, I'm not kidding, why if you decided to be a public servant in Florida, where you may have taken a lesser salary because you wanted to move to Florida, you like the weather, you like the cost of living, you like the freedom, whatever it may be, where I live. I'm using Florida because I live here. Can you explain to me why a public servant in Florida, where Florida is far more responsible with their state budget, not perfect, but doing far better with pensions and things like this, why we should bail out a state like New York, which already spent your pension money if you're a public servant, wasted it on all kinds of Green New Deal nonsense, Bill de Blasio nonsense, Cuomo nonsense, why that Florida American citizen should bail out that citizen in New York who's working for that government that didn't take care of them? How does that make sense? Why should Texas bail out California when people move to Texas to get away from the policies people are voting for in California? I'm sorry, folks, that's not what we do. I lived in New York. I was a public servant. I was a police officer and a federal agent paid by the federal government at one point and the city government of New York City. I realized early on that I wanted to do something different, got out. I don't have a pension from them anymore. I got out of it because I knew it wasn't going to be there for me later. The writing was on the wall. Promises were made, there's no doubt, but those promises were broken by people elected there. There's no money. There is no money. Do you understand that? There's no money. I was explaining this to Paula last night. We were sitting down watching TV after I appeared on Hannity. Do you understand there is no government surplus fund? There's no, everything we are giving to the states is just American citizens giving to other American citizens money American citizens are borrowing from other American citizens, pretending they're giving other American citizens money. There's no money. There's none. I'm sorry to be Debbie or Danny Downer today, but there's no money. None. The government is $24 trillion in debt. State governments have made promises they can't meet. That is not the fault of the citizens of Florida or Texas or other states, which have not spent their states into oblivion. I am genuinely sorry to have to break the bad news. I get it. There's a lot of groups out there really interested in what we have to say on the show. Whenever I mention Social Security's broke, I get tons of emails every time. I'm not going to stop talking about it because it's true.
I bet.
It's like us not talking about the Wuhan virus in January because, oh, you know what? Forget it. Let's not talk about it. It'll just go away. It's not going to go away. We can fix it. I hopefully want to get to some optimistic news today. A couple of Wall Street Journal stories. It is fixable. But pretending it's not there and say, well, I worked for that money. I did too. I was a police officer. I was an agent. I did too. I get it. I get it. Listen to me. I get it. I totally understand. You did a hard job for little money based on promises made to you. People vote. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Politicians voted into office, betrayed you. That's a problem that we have to fix. We have to clean up their mess. But that problem will not be solved by them betraying you again and saying, oh no, we'll just borrow it from Florida. Florida doesn't have it either. Let's put some meat on the bone here. Screenshot one, reason not to bail out the states. The federal government's already directly provided money to the states. Quote, Daily Signal, $150 billion in direct grants for COVID-19 costs, $500 billion in short-term loans to municipal governments, $35 billion in loan default forgiveness, $45 billion in FEMA funds, $30 billion for schools, $34 billion for mass transit. Keep in mind, this is all paper money. It's all money fair money. Nobody, the government doesn't have that. There's no surplus. The government's just borrowing that from us. You're talking about nearly $1 trillion in state funding. There's no more. I'm sorry, they've already given you too much to the states. That's easy for you to say, Dan. You live in Florida. No, it's not easy for me to say. The federal government taking money from me and others in Florida and Texas and states that didn't already gave the states money. States that were in the red, who couldn't handle their own budgets. Reason number two, we shouldn't be bailing out the states. They can't manage their money now, ladies and gentlemen. Quote, the Daily Signal, the money would reward decades of reckless mismanagement, including bailing out unfunded pensions. COVID-19 measures have been in place now for about 5 weeks, but states' unfunded pension systems, the driving force behind their fiscal woes, are closer to five decades in the making. State and local governments have promised $5 trillion more in pension and post-employment benefits than they've set aside to pay. I don't want to break the bad news. I understand. I am with you. It is not your fault. You took a lower salary to work for the state government. Many cases, some, not all. Some are getting paid higher, especially in the federal government where there's a lot of data on that. But many took lower salaries in exchange for the promise of these pensions that were broken. They were broken. I'm not callous. I'm not immune to that. I know what you're feeling. I did not grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. Any allegations otherwise are utterly absurd from people totally unfamiliar with my backstory. But I'm a problem solver. And we have a problem caused by politicians. You've got to start voting in different people that stop betraying you. They're stealing your money. It's like being in a boxing ring and a guy is punching the snot out of you. And you're like, please stop. That really hurts. It's not helping. There's a problem to be solved. Punch, face, hurt, put your hands up. Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Slide. Use your footwork. We have no choice. These are really bad people that screwed you over. We can't bail them out. We don't have the money to bail them out. They mismanaged these places for years. There has to be a political price to pay. And if there's not, and 51% of the people vote for continued mismanagement, then ladies and gentlemen, it's a constitutional republic. And sadly, 49% of the people have to pay the price. We may have to do it in Florida. Who knows? It doesn't mean there's going to be a Republican governor down here forever. I hope there is. Finally, third reason. Ladies and gentlemen, the federal government just doesn't have the money. They don't have the money. We can't bail out the states. If Congress were to fulfill Illinois alone's request and provide the same amount on a per capita basis to the rest of the states, think about it. The price tag would top another $1 trillion, with New York getting $61 billion, Texas $92 billion, and California $125 billion. There's no money. There's no money. There is no money. Zero. There's no money. There's negative money. The federal government is in trillions of dollars of debt this year. There's no money. They're only borrowing this from you to give it back to you to give it to someone else. They're borrowing money from you in Florida to go give to someone in New York who's going to borrow it from someone else to give it to someone else in New York. There's no money. This is insanity. It is immoral, unethical, red ink, money fairy nonsense. If every politician had to take an Econ 101 class, there'd be no politicians left. Oh, man. All right. I got a lot to get to, so including debunking this ridiculous New York Times story. The GOP is to blame, Joe, for adding to the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. We're to blame now. We're amazingly. They're Democrats. Only, the Washington Post, total garbage. Before I get to that, today's show also brought to you by everybody's at Raycon. I love these headphones. I told Joe I got to get him a pair. These are really great headphones. I do a lot of phone calls now, walking around the house, working from home, and these Raycon headphones have been priceless. The sound is really terrific. Love it for music, love it for phone calls, but they stay. What did you say to me before the show, Joe? You go, gosh, why are the shippers? They never stay in my ear. That was problem too, till I got these bad boys. Not kidding. They stay right in my, I got weird ears from all the cauliflower stuff.
Me too.
You working from home or working on your fitness? what are you laughing at? It's true that cauliflower, you never, it's from all the wrestling, all the jujitsu. No matter what you're listening to, the Raycon headphones are for you. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars, wasting money essentially on a pair, you don't need to spend all that money. You need to check out the wireless earbuds from our buddies at Raycon. It's a cool case too. They come in right there. You already know Raycon earbuds. They start about half the price of any other premium earbuds. They look like this. They fit right in. Check them right out. Charge that case. Go right in. Beautiful. They start about half the price of any of the premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound as amazing as other top audio brands. You know, they sound terrific. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet. With 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Great for airplane travel, too, when we start traveling again. Raycon's wireless earbuds are really comfortable. They fit right in my ears. Great for conference calls for me. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. You know, sometimes we do phone interviews on the show. I use them with the Raycon earbuds to do it. They have no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls. You've heard me talk about how the company was co-founded by Ray J. Other celebrities love these as well. They're obsessed with Raycons. Pick up a pair today, see what the hype is all about. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order. That's a big savings at buyraycon, RAYCON.com/Bongino. That's buyraycon.com/Bongino for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Bongino. Sorry, but Paul, sometimes I surprise Paula with the spots. You know, Tuesday is always a loaded day. I always appreciate your patience. We have great sponsors. We have to pay for the show, and they're really good companies. But so when we have four spots on Tuesday, sometimes she doesn't exactly have the time. So when I just randomly throw a spot and she bounces out of the chair, like I've never, you're great at that. You're just like, she's got cat-like reflexes. All right, getting to this Washington Post story. So, you know, the Washington Post is always there to tell you a story, not the story. This is not a serious journalism outlet.
No.
I'm not kidding.
We all know that.
On Hannity show last night. Yeah, them and the New York Times. Yeah, of course. I mean, their democracy dies in the darkness tagline is hilarious because the darkness is the Washington Post. They're always there to tell you a story, a narrative, a fable, a myth. And that myth has kind of a learning point you're supposed to take from it. Unfortunately, it has nothing to do with the actual facts. So I want you to look at this headline. I want to hat tip Josh Holmes on Twitter, former McConnell staffer, who did a great job dismantling this absolutely ridiculous article from the Washington Post. Here's what's going on. This Paycheck Protection Program, which was a federal government effort to pay people not working because of the government-imposed shutdown, has already run out of money because of the popularity of it. Hundreds of billions of dollars have already been scooped up. You probably heard about it. Now, the Republicans and some Democrats, not all, a lot of Democrats are blocking this, want to replenish the program with a couple hundred billion dollars more of borrowed money nonetheless, but money nonetheless, in order to pay people. Now, amazingly, who's in the way? The Democrats, Pelosi and Schumer. Look at this headline of the Washington Post. This is hilarious by the hapless fake journalist guy, Jonathan O'Connell, who I've never heard of, thankfully, until today. Listen to this headline. White House and the GOP face heat after hotel and restaurant chains helped run small business program dry. What? So just to be clear here, the story, these hapless losers at the Washington Post, the story they want you to take away, not the real story, is that this program to back up your paycheck, pay you for not working because of the shutdown, that this program is facing backlash because restaurants and hotels, those evil restaurants and hotels, are scooping up all the money. Who else owns a hotel? Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think? They're scooping up all the money. And the backlash for that, Joe, that these evil restaurants and hotels are taking all the money, the backlash has been focused on the GOP and Trump. It has. That's fascinating because it's the GOP and Trump, whether you agree with the program or not, that are pushing to replenish the program. You didn't know that? So let's go piece by piece through this to show you how the Washington Post debunks their own nonsense in their own story. And of course, they bury it at the end. So first, we've been told, Joe, that this program is run dry and you're not getting your paycheck protection benefit from the government. You're not getting that because it's those evil restaurants and hotels. And by the way, Trump owns a hotel, too, in case you didn't know. They did. Huh? So what would you say, Joe, if restaurants and hotels, before you put that up, that screenshot, Joe, just asking, not a trick. Right. What would you say if the restaurants and hotels are sopping up like a sponge all the money, and Trump owns a hotel, don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say they're taking like 90% of it, right? Sounds about right?
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah, they're taking all of it. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Brady, yeah, all of it. Evil, it's all gone. Evil.
Let's go to the screenshot, see what the Washington Post. Barry down at, of course, at the end of the story. Spending on hotels and restaurants accounts for less than 10% of the total money funds dispersed so far, according to the SBA. 10, 90, 10. That, amazing how they bury that down later in the story. Kind of incredible how that happens, no?
Yes, yes.
Less than, in their own story. Restaurants and hotels. By the way, I tell you, Trump owns a hotel, too, just in case you didn't know that. Because the Washington Post, maybe if you're watching us on YouTube, this is the wink and a nod. The Washington Post, you know, Trump, this is all evil restaurateurs. Yacht sailing, jet, private jet flying, evil restaurateurs and hoteliers. You know, yes. Those evil rich people. So, by the way, by the way, if you work in a restaurant or hotel, you don't matter because you work in an evil industry. So your paycheck, according to the Washington Post, forget it. You don't matter. You know, Washington Post, restaurant employees, hotel employees, double barrel middle finger for you. I'll try to keep it family friendly, but you get the idea.
Yes, yes.
You don't matter one bit. Even though they debunked their own premise in the story wrote that hotels are less than 10%. Of course, you got to read the story to do that. Most Washington Post readers won't actually read the story because they're liberals, and many of them, unfortunately, have the reading comprehension of a kindergartner. So now we'd assume also, Joe, listen how they phrase this, that because the GOP is facing backlash, keep in mind, I'm not covering for the Republicans, okay? We have enough awful Republicans out there where we can engage in bipartisan criticism on this show often, and I totally get that. I'm not some party shill, not interested at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you for a fact that is the overwhelming majority of Republicans on the Senate, House side, and especially in the White House, President Trump, have been pushing for a clean replenishment of this. Just put the money in there. It is the Democrats blocking this. That is a fact. It is Schumer and Pelosi. Why? Because they want their identity politics provisions in there. We got to take care of this group and we got to take care of that group. Remember, they wanted the, how many white people do you have on your board in the prior phase one of this thing? It's Pelosi and Schumer that are holding this up. Just read their own headlines. It's not the Republicans. Listen to this, Joe, hilariously, how the Washington Post frames this. Second screen cap from the piece. There's something in common with all the names I'm going to mention. Of course, if you're watching on YouTube, you get to read ahead here. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, along with Senator Ben Cardin, Gene Shaheen, and Ron Wyden, wrote to Mnuchin and the Small Business Administration Administrator, Yavita Carranza, on Friday, asking that the PPP be replenished. What do Ben Cardin, Ron Wyden, Chuck Schumer, and Gene Shaheen have in common? They're all Democrats.
Yeah, the D. Yeah.
That's crazy. So the Washington Post conveniently leaves out that, in fact, it's Chuck Schumer blocking the replenishment. That's not in question. Just read their own statements. They're blocked. They'll give you various reasons for why. It's Schumer and Pelosi doing it. But the Washington Post, in an unbelievable retconning of history, is now suggesting that because Schumer wrote a letter with all these conditions requesting the replenishment, the Republicans don't want conditions. They just want to put the money in there. That it's Schumer and a bunch of Democrats requesting the replenishment. This is hilarious. This is hilarious. They missed the whole Trump press conference yesterday where Trump's the one out there saying, hey, we really need to replenish this fund. They missed that whole thing. They missed the whole, they only put the Democrats in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You just, folks, I'm genuinely sorry if you have been snookered into believing the Washington Post is actually giving you the story. I'm sorry. I am really sorry. I'm not kidding. You are being suckered either willingly or because, just being candid, you don't have the intellectual capacity to figure out you're being suckered. Did you not read the story? Less than 10% of the funds have been taken by restaurants and hotels. I thought they bankrupted the fund, restaurants and hotels. I thought they did that. And then you really believe that it's these four Democrats that are pushing for the fund replenishment, despite Schumer being on the record blocking the replenishment, despite the conditions he wants imposed. Do you not do any homework? Again, as I say often, I can't tell you who to vote for. That's not my intention. It's not. I am a Republican. I'm a conservative. I never vote Democrat ever. Ever, ever, ever. I'll write someone in. I did that once in Maryland in a local city, county council race for the Anne Arundel County Council. I did that once. I wrote someone in. Remember, Paula? I wrote someone in. I would never vote. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm simply telling you, yes, we have some awful Republicans. Yes, a lot of Democrats are pretty awful too. But if you believe this story in the Washington Post, you either can't read or you don't want to read because it's totally, completely false. It is a made up, fabricated myth. All right, moving on. A lot to get through today. Big story, and I'm agreeing. You know what? Let's again. So let me just. I got another sponsor I want to get to, and but there's an important story coming up. Trump made a bold, President Trump, a bold move on immigration, and already, Joe, we're back to the talking points. Trump's the xenophobe in chief. We're already there.
Yeah.
All right. Today's show also brought to you by our friends at Bambi. Listen, when running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. That's why we use Bambi. Helps us. B-A-M-B-E-E. Was created specifically for small businesses. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month-to-month, there's no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend all day on HR compliance. Let's be honest. Let Bambi help you get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Dan right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi, Bambee.com/Dan, spelled B-A-M to the B-E-E.com/Dan. Bambi.com/Dan. Go check it out today. Get that free HR audit. Okay, moving on. So, you know, the absolutely hapless Democrats can't get out of their own way. You realize identity politics is all they have left. It's a tactic for class division. You know, why do the Democrats accuse everybody of being xenophobes, homophobes, transophobes, you name it, racist, misogynist, anything with an ist or a phobia. You used to call them istophobic, phobophobes. That's just their title for it. They do it because they understand that they don't have to get you to vote for them. I think the Democrats know how awful they are. No one really believes in this Green New Deal outside of fringe left. No, but they know it's all nonsense. Farting cows and gas-compliant planes that could be dangerous. Nobody believes in any of that. It's all nonsense. It's like 10% of the population that thinks this stuff is actually viable. So in order to get the Democrats, in order to get Democrats to vote for them, they don't have an agenda to vote for. They get you to vote against the other guy. That's what identity politics does. It's a deadly weapon because charges of racism and xenophobia in a country as free and diverse as the United States are deadly. It speaks a lot about the growth of the United States and our collective national character, that where we've come from and where we are now, that one of the most deadly charges you can level against someone is to call them a racist. Think about it. Think about what I just told you. Calling someone a racist works so well for the Democrats because it's such a pernicious thing to say. If nobody cared about racism, it wouldn't be so deadly, right?
Yeah.
If everybody was a racist and it was accepted like the Democrats want you to believe, then why would racism be? You understand why the charge is so bad? Yeah. Because it is so, it's such a grotesque thing. That the collective American populace has embraced how awful it is. That's why it's so dangerous when the Democrats use it all the time and use it. Listen, there's always going to be racism and xenophobia and everything. But the Democrats want you to believe that this is a Republican thing and that the president fits these characteristics, which is utterly ridiculous. That's why they use it all the time. So the president last night has put a temporary restriction on immigration into the country in light of the Wuhan virus outbreak. Obviously a sensible measure. Please explain to me, by the way, before I get to the hysterical Democrat response. I mean, total manic hysteria by the Democrats again. I'm going to ask you a simple question. So again, the president set up the premise. President Trump has established now an immigration restriction into the country in light of the Wuhan virus outbreak. Can you please explain to me how that's unreasonable, being that the Democrat governor of Virginia, the awful Gretchen Whitmer, a tyrant in training, has banned people from traveling to their lake houses or second homes within Michigan? I said, I'm assuming, did I just say Virginia? I meant Michigan. the Democrat governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. There's another awful Democrat, Virginia. So that was an interesting Freudian slip. She has banned people from traveling within Michigan to their own summer homes or lake houses or whatever they may be. She thinks that's a great idea. And her Democrat friends think she's wonderful. So you're telling me that's wonderful. No lake house, Joe. No summer house for you within Michigan. But yes, we should be taking unrestricted immigration in from other countries right now. Oh. And we don't even understand the depth of the outbreak of these. Please, hold on. Take a minute. Oh. Let's put the gavel. Let's take a 3 second. Does that make sense? Now, if you're a liberal, you'll make sense out of it because, again, you're just, I'm sorry, you don't get it. You're never going to get it. The show was never designed to convince liberals because there are no convincing them. To them, that makes sense. Yes, we should allow immigration right now from other countries. While we have no idea the depth of the outbreaks in these countries, because we're relying on countries for information, some may be accurate, some may not. We should definitely accept immigrants right now, but we should definitely not let people in Michigan travel to their lake house. If that makes sense to you, tune out now. That, believe me, this is not the show for you. I am deeply sorry. How you wound up here, I don't know, but this show, we do facts. You live in a fact-free, bizarre world-type universe. Now, here's the response. Check this out. So here, I pulled this off of NBC News. Here is an, again, temporary immigration ban here while we can figure out what's going on with the Wuhan virus. Here's the response. So predictable. So predictable. So lazy. So intellectually in a vacuum these people live. He's the xenophobe in chief. Democrats blast Trump's plan to suspend immigration to the U.S. The president could sign an executive order closing off the country as early as this week. It's never going to stop, folks. It's never going to stop. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Do you understand? No matter what this president does, he cannot win with the media. Hence my reason for not caring why he's constantly fighting with them. These are useless people, the media. They are out there to echo like a megaphone a false, nonsensical identity politics message that will literally put you in danger. If we found out tomorrow, let's give it some time. Give it 2 weeks. If we found out in 2 weeks that country X has a severe outbreak of the coronavirus and that we accepted, say, 10,000 immigrants from country X into a San Francisco and Florida airport between them over the last 2 weeks, I promise you, the same loser Democrats calling Trump the xenophobe in chief. In other words, he doesn't like immigration. I promise you those same Democrats would retcon that, pretend that didn't happen. And what would be their news story, Joe? President wasn't hard enough on immigrants. He wasn't hard. He should have stopped it. He should have stopped it, Joe.
Yep.
He should have stopped it. It's amazing how the Democrats bounce back and forth with the help of the hapless, grotesque, lying media. Between President Trump being a tyrant king authoritarian and President Trump, a hapless leader who does absolutely nothing. Because you understand, like, both of those stories can't be true, right?
That's right.
Either President Trump is a megalomaniac, Goldfinger-like from the James Bond movies, tyrant, a king emperor monarch, out of control, stomping on liberties everywhere and overreacting and abusing his power. Either he's that or he's done nothing and he's let the Wuhan virus rage because he doesn't use the powers he has. Those stories cannot both exist at the same time. But did you notice how the media, these hapless buffoons, bounce seamlessly? We were talking about this last night, Paul and I. They bounce seamlessly from one story to the next without any concern that they've already written the opposite story.
Yeah.
In January, when the president imposed the travel ban from China, which unquestionably, according to the same medical experts the media now lionizes, saved likely tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of lives. Unquestionably. When he imposed that travel ban, Trump's a tyrant. Media buffoons say Trump's a tyrant, authoritarian move. He's a xenophobe. They've now retconned that story to say President Trump did not react strongly enough early. We were on top of this. President Trump is a weak leader. Now President Trump uses his power, which I'm going to show you because we produce facts here. His legal authority to do this. Nobody questions this. The media will try to, but they can't. He uses legal authority to impose an immigration ban, temporary, while we get a hold of this virus. And the media is now back, Joe, to saying, no, no, what we said about him underreacting, forget that. He's now a tyrant again and the xenophobe, and he's now an authoritarian. Not authoritarian and weak, authoritarian tyrant. He's not authoritarian enough. What a weak leader. This dude's an authoritarian king and an emperor. We must be stopped. He must be stopped immediately. Can you please get your story straight, you buffoons? Now, for those of you out there suggesting, President doesn't have the authority to do that. Okay, I'm sorry you don't read, but I'm here to help you. The Immigration and Nationalization Act. Let's go to Section 212F, which I've had to read on this show many times for the liberal readers who don't read and don't know anything about the law. Section 212F, suspension of entry or imposition of restrictions by the president. For the liberals, whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens, or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the U.S., he may, by proclamation, and for such period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. There you go. Period. Full stop. Thank you. Not interested in your opinion. I'm only interested in the law. I'm not interested in your opinion. I'm sorry. I'm not talking to my great conservative listeners, to the liberals. I know we've been hard on the liberals today, but they're hard on the truth. Always. I'm really sorry you can't read. But that is an unambiguous statute. Unambiguous. Ambiguity, meaning, hey, a little bit. No, that's not ambiguous. On any class of aliens, for any period of time, any restrictions he deems necessary. I'm really sorry you can't read. He's a xenophobe. No, you're an idiot. You just don't know what you're talking about. He's married to an immigrant. People are so stupid. He's so gullible. Now, Joe, Q, of course, the fake Democrat outrage again. Here is the hapless Chuck Schumer on CNN from a weird-looking shot. You can almost, like, see up his nose, which is, like, that's one thing I definitely don't want to see. You know? Reminds me of that cave they fly into when Empire Strikes Back, and they're like, they think it's a cave, and it's that big lizard creature, whatever that worm creature's mouth. So here's the hapless Chuck Schumer, hilariously now, claiming that these immigration restrictions President Trump's saying he's going to impose, perfectly legal. You just read the statute with me. That this is a diversion by Trump, Joe. This is comical. Yeah. It's a diversion by Trump to get away from the testing talking point. I told you, see how this all ties in? I told you in the beginning of the show, they want to talk. So remember, as Tucker Carlson says often, and he's correct, the Democrats always accuse you because they know the media will back them up because they're not interested in the truth of what they're doing. So the Democrats are going to try to divert because they know Trump can do this and they know it's a smart move and they know it'll make him look like an effective leader. The Democrats now want the talking point away from the immigration ban. They want it back on a testing obstacle no one will be able to overcome because that's the obstacle they're going to use to hold funding hostage to get bailouts to liberal states, okay? That's the only talking point they want the media to talk about. That, do you ever notice why in the presser every day, the media, they work with the Democrats. It's a focus group for the Democrats. Do you ever notice every day why the media, Mr. President Trump, Paula, this is how this started yesterday. Not to keep talking about conversations with Paula, but it matters. This is how the conversation started yesterday with Paula and I. Paula said to me in the kitchen, she goes, damn, why do they keep bringing up testing? This is why. Because they know there is no testing metric that will ever be met that will satisfy these obstacles they keep moving. They don't want to surpass the metric because it'll look like Trump did something. They want it on testing. Despite the fact that a test today could be irrelevant 5 minutes from now if someone coughs on you. So they're diverting. But listen to Schumer accuse Trump of diverting away from that. This is hilarious. Check this out.
Look, I think it's another diversion. The agencies don't even know what it is. No one knows what it is. Yesterday or the day before, we were talking about WHO I think the president ought to stop these diversions. What we really need is a focus on testing, a focus on contact tracing, so that we can open up again. And that should be the focus. That's what we've been negotiating this all night. And I don't think we should be lost in diversions that have little to do with getting the testing and the opening up of America that we need.
Unbelievable. He takes a substantive action. You've just been for weeks now. You're back to he's a weak leader who did nothing and he let the Wuhan virus rage. After you said he was an authoritarian who blocked Chinese travel, who did too much, blocking the Wuhan virus. You switched that. The media's with you. Now you're back to this guy's an authoritarian again who's doing too much and he's trying to divert from the testing. Joe, if you were trying to divert from talking about testing, and you're the president of the United States, like Chuck Schumer just alleged.
Yeah.
If you were trying to do that,
yeah.
Why would the president go on national television literally every day? Well, I don't want to say because I think he missed a day last week. Huh. Well, figuratively, almost every day. Why would you go on every single day in front of a national audience and open up nearly every day talking about an update on testing?
That's above my pay grade.
That's a very good Phil Murphy. Very good.
It
it's above Joe's pay grade. Just like the Bill of Rights was above Phil Murphy. You. But it is. It's above our because we're not thinkers like Phil Murphy. We're not thinking about it. So let me get this straight. You have to be a non-thinker for that to make sense.
Yeah,
I feel a little bad for Schumer. The home studio, I shouldn't have knocked his camera angle because although I dislike his politics, it is rough to do stuff from home, as Joe knows. And those camera angles can get bad, right? We've done them before, too,
where
you're like, oh, I see him. And it's like up your eyelids, you see the bottom of your chin, your ears, up your nose. You see like your brain, your frontal cerebral cortex. But yeah, right, I know it's bad. But having said that, Schumer's talking point is so ridiculous. I mean, I don't know what IQ you need for that to make sense. President Trump and Mike Pence, the vice president, open up every night with medical professionals in front of a national audience talking about updates on testing. He's diverting from testing. Okay, whatever, man. Whatever. I have nothing to add to that. All right, I want to get to this excellent Margot Cleveland piece. She really does incredible work at The Federalist. It'll be in the show notes. Please read it. We had an open rate, by the way, at our emails. I know we're not supposed to like talk about this, but it's hysterical. You guys and ladies are great with our emails. If you're on my email list, bongino.com/newsletter, we had an open rate of almost 70% the other day. That's like from another world. I think, what's the average open rate? Like 5% on emails? 70%? You all are great. And it's just the articles we're sending you. It's not our stuff. Bongino.com, we rarely even put our own articles on there. We promote other people's stuff because it's good work, and I'm really honored that you all open our emails and read them. I mean that. Thank you. I'm from the bottom of my heart. You all are great. Before I get to that, one last sponsor. Again, I always appreciate your patience. Tuesday's a loaded day. But, you know, we have a couple dogs we love here. And now look at that. Look at the baby boy. Look at a baby boy. That's the Ollie food right there. That is my mother-in-law's dog who we have adopted and taken on. I love that dog. What is he, a Morkie, a Maltese, and a Yorkie? That's him eating Ollie. Listen, your dog's health is as important as every other member of your family, and it starts with what you feed your dogs. But do you know really what's in your dog's food? Ollie puts dogs first. They have vet-formulated recipes that are fully transparent with their ingredients, and they give your dog the healthiest food possible. Sorry, I'm still laughing about the last thing. Ollie makes fresh meals for dogs with real ingredients people can eat. I'm not messing with, not that you did, but you can eat it. It's food. I always say it's like, it's not dog food. It's food for dogs, right? Dog food has that negative connotation. This is food for dogs. Like if you give a piece of steak to your dog, is it dog food? No, it's food you gave your dog. This is people, you can eat this food. It delivers them to you on a regular, delivers you on a regular schedule. Excuse me. Ollie beats out store-bought dog food on 10-1 on the palatability scale. Why? Because it just tastes great. Because they create customized vet-formulated recipes made with all natural, fresh ingredients, no preservatives, and sourced from U.S. family farms. Go to myollie.com. Answer a few questions about your dog. They'll customize recipes to your dog. They'll ship pre-portioned meals. Your pup gets the perfect portion every time. They've delivered 5 million of these meals. Shipping is free. And if your dog doesn't like the meals, they have a money-back guarantee. Believe me, that those meals aren't going back. The baby boy will tear through all of those. Ollie's offering our listeners 60% off your first box, plus a free bag of treats at myollie.com/try/Bongino. That's where you're going to get this deal. It's the best deal they have available anywhere. Go to myollie.com/try /Bongino. Don't forget that URL. It's important. For 60% off. That's huge. Plus a free bag of treats. Spelled myOLLIE.com/try/Bongino. BONGINO. Go check it out today. The dog's going to love the food. It's terrific. Okay. So the great Margot Cleveland put a piece up at The Federalist. And I like these pieces because sometimes, like yesterday's show, which did very well. Thank you for listening, viewing, downloading, all that stuff. We got really into the Spygate drama at the end, the Sergey Milian thing, and just this unbelievable story now that it appears highly likely that the FBI, of all people, the FBI relied on a guy they thought was providing Russian disinformation to them to make the claim that Trump was working with the Russians. It's just like, in its tragedy, is so unbelievable. They expected us to fall for this sham, this scam. But sometimes I think we got to get back to the bigger picture. I like these pieces like this, 7 things to take away, because they're really good, especially when written by her. So here's the piece, without further ado. Margot Cleveland at The Federalist, be in the show notes. Please check it out. Definitely worth your time. 7 devastating revelations about Crossfire Hurricane in the new releases we've been having. This is why this is in the news. A new Senate website, Senator Graham's staff uploaded 4 Carter Page FISA applications, which were recently further declassified. That's why all this information is important. To be clear, there were 4 warrants to spy on the Trump team, known as FISA warrants. They were classified, a lot of the information. Of those 4 warrants, additional declassifications. The black marks are being removed every day, ladies and gentlemen, and the information underneath them was just devastating. And all this nonsense that, the FBI was trying to cover sources and methods. No, because now we're reading the applications and none of it was covering for sources and methods, Joe. It was covering up for really stupid stuff the FBI did. So let's get to the debunking number 1. What is one of the new things we know? I kind of covered this yesterday, but it's worth readdressing in the Margot Cleveland piece. Ladies and gentlemen, they were spying on the Trump campaign. Gosh, will we please stop with the nonsense? Margot Cleveland, number 1, takeaway. The FBI always intended to spy on the Trump campaign. When news first broke that the Obama administration obtained a FISA order to surveil Carter Page, Democrats and the left-leaning press argued that the FBI's surveillance of the former Trump foreign policy advisor Page didn't constitute spying on the Trump campaign because the court-ordered surveillance didn't begin until after Page had left the campaign. Nonsense! Nonsense! As I showed you in the new declassifications, we now know they looked at Carter Page's emails back when he was on the Trump campaign. And as Margot Cleveland points out in the piece, they made the point that they were going to be looking at Carter Page's future emails, but he left the campaign, Joe. Mm-hmm. That's not what they say in the report. Yeah, he may have formally left, but they believed he was still going to be emailing people on the Trump campaign. Why would that be interesting? I thought you weren't spying on the Trump campaign. Well, if you're a regular listener to this show, we shredded this dopey, ridiculous, but persistent, foolish media talking point insistent on lying to you all the time. Months ago, when we put up Jim Comey's own testimony in front of Congress, which the media, I don't know if they pretend it doesn't exist or if they think we're too stupid to figure this out. Here is Jim Comey in open testimony. Quote, former director of the FBI, I have been authorized by the DOJ to confirm that the FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 election. And that includes, Joe, investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government. Thank you, Jim Comey.
Jimbo.
Again, I just don't know why hapless, clueless media folks keep reporting this. The FBI wasn't spying on the Trump campaign. Okay. I'm genuinely sorry you can't read or can read and don't have the comprehension to figure out that this talking point has been repeatedly debunked. Enough on that. Covered it yesterday. Wanted to hit it again. I'm not going to get to all 7. I'm just going to cover some of her highlights from the piece. But here's another one. So we know they spied on the Trump campaign. But surely, Joe, no way they spied on the Trump presidency. Wait, what? No way. Check this little doozy out from Margot Cleveland's piece. She writes, significantly, the April and June 2017 FISA renewal applications, remember, 2017, for the liberals listening, Trump was the president then, okay, get sworn in January. I know timelines and stuff are tough with you. So they renewed the FISA in April and June. We know that. And after redacting, FISA acquired information after these redactions. They noted that the FBI assessed that Page continues to have access to senior U.S. government officials. Wait, he does? In Trump's the president, Page has access to government officials. What are they saying? Moreover, the FBI further assesses that Page is attempting to downplay his contacts with the Russian government and to dispel the controversy surrounding him so as to make him more viable as a foreign policy expert who will be in a position due to his continued contacts with senior U.S. government officials. Oh.
Ooh.
Senior, okay. Audience Ombudsman Joe, I need you here to rescue some people who will not be able to figure this out.
Here I am.
So the government, the executive office of the presidency changes hands in January of 2017.
Yes.
Let's follow the timeline, not hard. January of 2017, Trump is the president.
Yes,
by the middle of the month. He is, yes, very good. Trump is the president. Carter Page had worked with Trump.
Yeah.
There are then two FISA warrants renewed while Trump is president to spy on a guy who used to work with the Trump campaign.
Right.
They now indicate in declassified documents that that person, Carter Page, was contacting U.S. government officials.
Now,
just maybe some of the people he had worked with on the Trump campaign. But yes, tell me again.
Mm-hmm.
No worries, media hacks. They weren't spying on the Trump presidency. I'm really sorry again. You can't read between the lines here. You know, as Holman Jenkins at the Wall Street Journal, who's done incredible work on this, says often, and he said in a piece this weekend, I'm not quoting him exactly, but the gist of it was, you know, Joe, this is amazing. Reporters are supposed to be trying to dig into facts.
Yeah.
Facts that support some hypothesis they have. In other words, you're a journalist, you think there's corruption. You go and get evidence, you get ledgers, you get statements, money was spent wrong or was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. You're kind of like an investigator in search of the truth, right?
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to have an agenda in doing it. And Jenkins in his pieces writes often, it's amazing how the breadcrumbs are there for anyone to see. So Carter Page is talking to senior U.S. government officials, most likely in the Trump administration, because that's where he worked. And you're still suggesting they weren't spying on the Trump presidency? Are you missing all the breadcrumb? Mm-hmm. Breadcrumbs. Don't worry, folks. We'll do the work for them. Moving on in the interest of time. So takeaway one, they definitely spied on the Trump campaign. That's not even in question. Number two, it's highly likely they spied on the Trump presidency as well. Based on their own information that's out there. Let's go to takeaway number three, because this is kind of just a funny one to, you know, as we're closing in on the end of the show. By the way, don't go anywhere. I've got the greatest takedown political ad ever by the Trump campaign. I don't want to miss out on this one. But this is almost comical. And it's from Marco Cleveland's piece. The FBI posits that the approach is important because from the Russian government's point of view, it continues to keep the controversy of the election in front of the American and world media, which has the effect of undermining the integrity of the U.S. elections and weakening the effectiveness of the current U.S. administration. Emphasis added by Marco Cleveland. What's she talking about? Why is that funny? You're probably reading it like, huh? You know what they're talking about? They're talking about Carter Page claiming his innocence to the media. Hilariously, they're blaming Carter Page for the continued disruption by the Russians of the fake Russian collusion. Do you get what they're saying there?
Mm-hmm.
The Russians really want this chaos, and Carter Page is doing it. Carter Page is the one. The Russians are winning. This is hilarious. The FBI makes up a fake narrative that Trump colludes with the Russians based on a pee-pee tape they source to a guy they think is a Russian disinformer. Page goes in public and says, I'm innocent. I didn't do anything. And they're blaming Page and saying the Russians are winning because Carter Page is proclaiming his innocence. This is hilarious. You have got to be kidding me. Did you get that? Did you follow that last one?
Mm-hmm.
That is, I just put that in there so you can chuckle a bit. They create a fake collusion narrative, which the Russians must love, which creates chaos in the United States. Based on information they think is coming from a guy dealing with Russian intel. And then they blame Carter Page for the election chaos. Do you understand the cojones you need to do this? I mean, I'm sorry, again, not a knock on a lot of my friends in the Bureau at all. But man, were you led by idiots for so long. Holy Moses. They blame Carter Page. It's just amazing. Is it? I mean, am I? What? All right, one more thing. I want to throw in a tweet before I get this video. I want to throw in a tweet by the great Undercover Huber. I'm going to show his Twitter so you know, so you can follow him because you're missing out. His precise handle on Twitter is at John W. Huber. It's obviously a take on John Huber, who was the AUSA assigned to the case. I don't know who he or she is. I have no idea. I have communicated with them. I know his information or her information is excellent, but I'm not kidding. I have no idea who it is. I just know they're way ahead of the curve and everything. It's a great account to follow on Twitter. Put up this excellent tweet reminding you of something I told you a long time ago when we translated those notes to Kathleen Kavalek in her interview with Christopher Steele when he first said this deal. He says, new, the FISA warrant applications on Carter Page directly relied on information sourced to Tribnikov, the former head of the Russian SVR and a good friend of Stefan Halper. I'm just going to leave this here. You may say, leave what? I brought this up to you a long time ago. Chuck Ross did as well, and so did Huber. Steele has claimed, to U.S. officials that his source for this information was the former head of the Russian intelligence service, a guy by the name of Vyacheslav Tribnikov.
Mm-hmm.
As I said to you on yesterday's show, was it really Steele dealing with Tribnikov? Because Tribnikov, as Huber points out, is a good friend of Halper's. Remember the FBI spy? Really?
Hmm.
Halper, by the way, has a history of saying he got information from people who have later said, I didn't give that to Halper. Again, what did I tell you yesterday? The real scandal in this case is it's fake information, the PP tape, but attributed to real people. If you were going to put fake information and pin it on someone and make it seem like it was coming from the Russian insiders, wouldn't Tribnikov, the former head of their intelligence service, be the perfect patsy? Of course he would. More coming on that one. All right, I want to end out the show with this one. I don't know who did this ad, Brad Parscale or whoever. This is one of the most brutal political ads I've ever seen. If you want the full effect of it, the audio matters, but if you want the full effect, watch it on my YouTube, youtube.com/Bongino. We're going to play the video now. The audio matters. This is just a devastating takedown of Nancy Pelosi. And just to be clear, she appeared on a late night show. I think it was James Corden. I'm not sure what the guy's name is. And while they're talking about the devastating effects of holding up this money I was talking about earlier for the Paycheck Protection Program, mm-hmm. which they're blocking, Pelosi decides it's a good idea to give a tour of her $24,000 freezer and her collection of fancy ice cream, a freezer that costs more than most of our cars. Not joking. She thinks this is a good idea. The Trump team, digital team, ran with this in an absolutely savage, brutal takedown like I've never seen. Check this out.
We turn now to that $350 billion fund to help small businesses and its workers get through the shutdown.
It will be up to Congress to restock it.
But Democrats blocking that move this morning.
They asked for $250 billion in 48 hours. I said, well, I don't think so. And they objected, and I congratulate the Senate Democrats.
Speaker Pelosi, what are you going to share with us from your home?
Chocolate candy.
Thousands have been forced to wait for hours at food banks all across the country.
This is...
Oh my.
Chocolate, and then we have some other chocolate here. We just got to restock the ice cream.
You don't want to eat up everything all at one time.
I can't do it much longer. I'm trying so hard.
We're, shall we say, enjoying.
Having to admit that, yeah, we're starving, and
I like it better than anything else.
Taping this segment, there are 22 million people out.
This specific program is about stopping job losses today.
This is hurting people bad.
Other people in our family go for some other flavors, but
right now it's survival move. You don't know where that next something else is going to come from.
I don't know what I would have done if ice cream were not invented. I just wonder.
I'm just going to let that one stew. Savage. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I will see you all tomorrow.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show. Follow Dan on Twitter 24/7 at DBongino.